Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that we can come together. And Father, we do pray now that you will help us to understand your word. You'll help us to understand what it is to speak in a way that pleases you. Amen. Now, are there phrases in your life, mottos in your life, a good little ditty that you live by? There are lots that are out there. Lots of people say, this is a good way to live. This is a good thing to do. I don't know. Is there any that you've ever liked or that you've taken to heart? The one that's very popular at the moment, from my estimations, we see food is always brought up in so many different ways at the moment on television, whether we're being sold chocolate bars, to whether we're trying to lose weight with The Biggest Loser, to food revolutions, to eating really fatty foods at MasterChef. Food is the topic. And the motto, you are what you eat, is a way that people often live. If I was what I eat, I would be either one big block of chocolate or a coffee cup, because that's what I eat a lot of. But there's a sense where that's true in a way, isn't it? You eat a lot of rubbish food, you'll, well, feel a bit rubbish. You'll get run down and tired and exhausted. If you eat a lot of fatty and sugary foods, maybe that'll affect how your health is. Maybe there's some sense that you are what you eat, but in another way, not really at all. You see, today we're going to see it's not you are what you eat, it's you are what you speak. That is really important. See, today we are going to see in this passage what you speak about is really important. And the reason it is important, because of Paul's purpose for Timothy. As we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Paul is desperate that Timothy, well, we'll see it up here, I'll put it up on the screen for us, that he will be strengthened, that his dear friend and co-worker, by God's grace, that as he guards and trusts the gospel in spite of certain suffering, that he will be strengthened by God's grace. And last week we saw as he makes sure that the gospel goes on to future generations. It's fantastic having the Kushkiris here and hearing how they are desperate that future generations in Malta actually have Jesus as number one on their hit list. Passing it on to future generations on the other side of the world is what we're on about because of what we saw in 2 Timothy last week. We see that Paul wants Timothy to be strengthened because times are tough and hard. And so he said a whole bunch of things to him about, Timothy, look at me. I want you to look at me as I follow Christ, and there you go, mate, you follow me. That is what I want you to do. There's a shift today. Now he wants him to look at his opponents, those that are doing the wrong thing, those he even picks out a couple guys and says, now I want you to consider them. We'll see this next week as well. And I want you to consider them, not copy them, Timothy. I want you to avoid them. I want you to avoid them. It's about being different to somebody. Look at our opponents, those who are even maybe one of us. Maybe they were sitting amongst us today, back then, in Timothy's church in Ephesus. Maybe they were up the front where I was. Possibly Hymenaeus and Philetus had a crack up the front. We see these two guys have been singled out and they've got some wacky views about Christianity. It's not that they were from out there, they were from within talking dodgy things about Jesus. And as we see this, we will see there's a very clear dominant idea that comes through this passage just by having a quick scan as you see up on the screen. See, we are what we speak, and then we look at this letter, have a look at verse 14. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Verse 16, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. We can see further on in verse 18, they say the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Then, verse 23, do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. You see, you are what you speak. What you say matters, Timothy. And there are lots, when you look at your opponents, when you look at others, they are saying a lot of rubbish. And today, I want you to consider what you're talking about, what you're quarrelling about. And that is what we're going to see. See, when he starts in verse 14 with the keep reminding them of these things, warn them before God against quarrelling about words, he's saying, Timothy, I have told you to entrust the gospel to others. There to take God's word to the next generation, warn them about arguing. Quarrelling will be a disgrace when it comes to entrusting the gospel. It won't work. Jeff mentioned how, you know, they're struggling within their church in a little bit of infighting and the problem is that they're not a great testimony, and pray for that. That's what we're seeing here. Warn them against that. Because if you do, it's of no value. It only ruins those who listen. It ruins those who listen. And, you know, some of us are more impressionable than others. We all have different types of personalities, and some are more impressionable. And if you keep on quarrelling and confusing people, then you're in the business of ruining people. Instead, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. You see, instead of quarrelling, you're thinking what you're trying to do, you're doing to the best of your ability. You're not just doing it. You're doing it to the best of your ability, and what you're doing is doing it for God. You're wanting to be approved by God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. So you don't want to be ashamed of what you do, and you don't want God to be ashamed of the way you're carrying on and the things that you say. Instead, do your best to please God. Don't quarrel. Timothy, he's saying, those who I told you to entrust the gospel to, make sure they are nothing like our opponents. Make sure they do not quarrel. Treat God's word with disdain. And I want to ask you, are you the type of person who maybe sometimes does quarrel? You know what? I reckon the reality is at some point we've all done it. Some of us do it more often. If you're always in arguments and quarreling, maybe that's an indication that possibly you do it yourself. Do you like saying silly and outrageous things that actually can be divisive? Or do you want to handle God's word with respect? You see, what he goes on to say in 15, you're not ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. You see, you actually, when you're talking about God, you deal with God's words rightly. It's not good enough to say God. What's good enough is to say Jesus is Lord and we need to follow him because he is God who has saved us and died for our sins. Not Jesus is a good guy. Oh, yeah, he was a man. I don't know that he was God. See, what you say matters. You need to handle the word of God correctly. If you're going to get others to do this, Timothy, make sure they're doing this. Make sure they're doing this. And as you remind others, you too need to avoid godless chatter. See, that's what he says in verse 16. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You see there? Godless chatter. I think I could say speaking nonsense. Speaking worldly rubbish. Just yabbering on, not about God. If you're talking about God, you're not speaking the truth of God. Wasted words, worldly words. I am absolutely 100% convicted this isn't a word for some of us. This is a word for all of us at some points in our life. I reflected hard this week, and there were times when I wasted words. Two reasons why you need to avoid godless chatter. Because if you indulge in it, what's going to happen? The very opposite of what's supposed to happen for the Christian. You see, what you say matters. You are what you speak matters, because if you indulge in it, it will become more and more ungodly. That is what will happen to the person who loves to just be godless in the way that they speak. You speak in a godless way, you become less like Jesus. The very opposite of what you have saved to be. Jesus died on the cross for you. He has saved you so that you will be more like Jesus. So that the day when he returns and we are with him forever and are perfect like him. You see, it's the opposite. You indulge in godless chatter, you're just being more and more opposite to the way you're supposed to be. Your potty mouth will take you away from Jesus. If you F this, S that, blaspheme against God by saying his word when you're angry, saying, calling on his name, not because you're genuinely crying out to him, but because you're angry, Paul is saying, Timothy, you need to see there is a correlation between your godliness. The act in itself is ungodly, and it's going to lead you down a path where you're less like Jesus when you're supposed to be more like him. It's a really serious matter. What we'll see in a moment, Paul's specifically thinking about when you're speaking about God, because he brings up Hymenaeus and Philetus. You see, what we need to make sure is that we're not involved in godless talk. Verse 17 is the second reason why. See, if the first reason why, if we indulge in it, we are affected drastically. Drastically. But the second reason why is because it will destroy others. Verse 17, their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of others, of some. See, the problem of gangrene is obvious to us all. Dead. It's destroyed. Gangrene is a horrible thing. And he's associated your godless talk. So what he's saying, rather their godless talk, the Hymenaeus and Philetus he's picking on, their godless talk is gangrene. It spreads and it kills. What you say matters. And when we're talking about God's people, when we're talking about leadership and ministry, what you say matters. And so in naming them, he's saying these guys have wandered away from the truth. Like I said before, these weren't just people out there who say Jesus is a joke. These are people that wandered away from them, who had the word. What their problem was, they say this weird thing that the resurrection has already taken place. And I take that to mean what they're probably saying is that in some sense, eternal life is already a reality for them as they're in their church. The possibility of perfection is there for them. They've sort of condensed Jesus returning. It's almost like that's insignificant and the new creation is forgotten about because it's already taken place. That is a problem. But that might be a bit weird for us. Well, that's not a problem for us. But anything in which is godless chatter, anything which takes us away from the fact that Jesus is the one who saves us through his death and resurrection, that we focus on other things, we have wandered away from the truth. And that's disastrous. See, I'm thankful that we had godly nominators who made wise decisions to look for a godly man who's going to speak the words of God. Because that is what we need. We don't want somebody who's going to come and be like Hymenaeus and Philetus. And Brendan is not that guy. He will speak the words of God to us. You see, what you speak about and how matters. We must turn away from it. We must turn away from this attitude of godless chatter. Verse 19. You see, all of this is a bit negative today. We've had a lot of positive stuff. Now we get this negative vibe. But as he does this, he wants to go, but you know what? Let's get back to God. It's always the way when we're dealing with suffering and hardship and difficult things in the Bible. It always comes in with, always cast your mind to God. Verse 19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Nevertheless, God's church, his solid foundations will stand. Just because there are people that speak rubbish, the church will still go on. God has established the church. God has established his people. God knows who are his. It's not like he's going to forget. He's not going to forget you just because somebody came in and started speaking rubbish to you, started slandering you. He knows who you are. And so, the Lord knows those who are his. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. That little echo of the Old Testament phrases that we see in the Old Testament, that we won't go back and look at them now, but this little phrase here saying, you confess the name of the Lord, and you're separate to the others because you're with him. God knows who are his. Those who are his say he is Lord. They confess his name. It separates you from the others, from your opponents. And it means you turn away from wickedness. And so what you say matters. So what Paul goes on to do, and we're not going to do this now in verses 20 to 21, he gives a little illustration about how you turn away from wickedness a little bit further, the need to be cleansed. And you can maybe reflect on that in your own time, maybe in Bible studies. But verses 20 to 21, he's highlighting, turn away from this rubbish. And then he gets to verse 22, and he picks on the youth. Verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. First of all, flee. Like that word, it's very clear. You don't just hang around. So I'm not part of it, but I'm just going to sort of stay here. You flee from it. You're not going to go with no protection on into a bee's nest and stay there. Oh, I'm not going to let them sting me, but I'm just going to hang around. You're going to flee. Flee the evil desires of youth. I said to 8 o'clock this morning, I said, if you want to be young again, pursue evil desires. And they looked at me a bit weird. I said, see, that's ridiculous. That's one way you could be young and you don't want to do that. That's ridiculous. Why would you say flee the evil desires of youth and pursue and don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments? It makes no sense. Why pick on the youth here? Why are they the evil ones? Well, I think it's saying all of us can have this desire, whether you're really, you know, later on in years or you are a youth. You can have the evil desires that is so prevalent when you're young. You see, I think that I'm sometimes a youth. I try sometimes. I don't know if Steve now thinks it's his birthday, he's cracked over the edge and he's no longer young, but I'm still trying to be young sometimes. And I can still relate to the idea that young people still love to quarrel about things, to talk about stupid arguments. I would go so far as to say when we're at more college, sometimes that's one of our problems when we're at college. We quarrel over foolish and stupid arguments instead of getting to the Word of God. You see, I think that's why, you know, the evil desires of youth, foolish and stupid arguments, is that it's a natural thing to do. But it's not like, oh, that's their problem. It's just pointing out all of us can so easily do that. Quarrel about stupid things and forget the things that we're supposed to pursue. Righteousness, faith, love and peace. You see, verse 23... don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. I mean, surely we've got it by now in this passage, right? Surely we've got the point. But I get the point, and yet I reckon it's one of those things that it's still hard for us to get right day in, day out. Don't you reckon? It's one of those things that's hard for us to make sure we don't just rant about God, rant about godless things. Slander people. See, if you're going to avoid, you will flee, you will run away from it, and it matters. It really matters, because if you're leading somebody, they see it. Like we said about, you know, it spreads like gangrene. If you want to be leading somebody, teaching at holiday club, teaching youth group, teaching Thirst, leading a Bible study, any sort of way like that, if your speak is godless, all you're communicating is, that's okay. God thinks that's fine. You ruin others. It matters. The Lord's servant is to be nothing like these. He would be very different. Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Kind to everyone, not just those that are kind to you. Not resentful. Not just bitter because you've been treated badly. If you've been treated badly, that's hard and we need to deal with it, and hopefully reconciliation and right things are dealt with. But resentment is something that needs to fly away from us. In the context of ministry, as Paul is talking to Timothy, we saw it last week as well, it's just you're able to teach. That is, you can handle the word of God correctly. You're not going to get up and then talk about rubbish about Jesus. And when there's a problem, we instruct gently in the hope that God will grant repentance, leading people in a knowledge of the truth. We want people to change from these ways. I want you to work harder at the way you speak. Think about what you say when you talk about Jesus. Are you a quarreler? See, it's a really big issue when you realize that actually any talk that's not God's talk is the devil's work. The devil loves it when you talk about Jesus and you're not talking about the true Jesus. See the end, verse 26. We hope that they come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. The devil has got Hymenaeus and Philetus and is like, you little beauty. They are telling God's people things that are not true. It'll be filled full with slander and bitterness. The devil loves it when we speak with quarrel, when we speak with stupid arguments, when we don't avoid godless chatter but embrace it. That is what he wants. How do you speak? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get to put aside your past life. Some of us, it's not as hard not to. It's easy not to swear, not to be really blasphemous, because we've never had a part of our life where it's been like that for us. But for some of us who have had a, you know, come to Jesus and previously let him rip in the way we speak, it's a bit harder. How are you going to deal with that? Are you just going to let that sort of seep into your Christian life? Or are you going to say, I need to deal with it? If it's addictive for me and I can't stop it, when I'm tired, when I'm sick, when I'm stressed, which I know from personal testimony, they're the danger times, aren't they? When you're feeling like that. How are you going to deal with it? Forgiveness and grace are always offered by Jesus. Remember the end of last week in that little phrase in verse 13 of chapter 2? Even when we are faithless, you know, expression of that, you say something and you walk away and you go, oh, I can't believe I said that. That was such a godless thing to say. You've had a moment of faithlessness. He will remain faithful. He promises you in Jesus, he has saved you. There's always grace and forgiveness. The Lord knows who are his, and he wants his people to flee from those who speak rubbish. The challenge for us today is to go away really thinking about that. To really think about, are we ones who want the truth to be upheld and to speak rightly? I want you today to humbly submit to this word with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks. We give you great thanks that you have shown us the gospel. You have given us Jesus, the good news of the gospel that saves us. Father, help us to avoid godless chatter. We want to be more like Jesus, not less like him. And as we've seen today, and be challenged and to be rebuked and to be encouraged, that we should avoid things that turn us into being less like your son. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Amen.